The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus told this parable to those among the Pharisees who loved money. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." The man who had been rich said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." Abraham said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So, brothers and sisters, we are still in the year of faith for another couple of months. Again, as I've preached before, this is a year of grace for us. And the grace the church is offering is to grow in our faith. And if someone were to ask us, well, what is really at the very core of our faith? It's very simple. The answer, one word, Jesus. Our faith is first and foremost about Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him might not perish but have eternal life. Our faith is about Jesus. It's not first and foremost about commandments and morality and rules and regulations and do's and don'ts. This is what our Pope Francis is reminding us of. Not to say that's not important, it is. But first, it's about Jesus, and it's about not just believing in Jesus from afar, but coming to know Jesus, to follow Jesus, to love Jesus, to serve Jesus, to bring others to Jesus. This, again, is the gospel. This is what Jesus himself did when he came on earth. Before he began to preach, he began to gather disciples. And what's the thing he said to them? "Follow me. Come, come, follow me." And the men we see, the first disciples, they literally dropped their nets and followed Jesus. There must have been something so attractive about him. Other disciples or other people were wondering and saying to Jesus, "You know, where do you live?" And what was his response? "Come and see. Come." Always inviting. Jesus is always inviting. And there's no barrier. Everyone can come. Especially Jesus, there is a certain group of people that Jesus loves the most. Did you know that? Sinners. He loves sinners. He called Matthew, the tax collector. He loved to eat and drink with the sinners because he said, I haven't come to call the righteous people, as if there was any. We're all sinners, but come to save the lost. I'm the good shepherd. I'll leave the 99 to go after the one who is lost. Jesus loves us, and he's come to show us the way to life. He's made it possible by suffering and dying and rising from the dead. Hey, that's pretty nifty, isn't it? Ever tried that, rising from the dead? Have you never known anyone? Any one of your friends, you know, or grandparents? No, Jesus has risen from the dead to prove that he's not just an ordinary man, but the Son of the living God. And that's why he's alive today. When we say that he's risen, we're not just talking, oh, that's nice, he died and he rose and hung around for a few days and then went back to heaven. No, it means he's alive. We can know him. He's still calling people today to follow him. And we can be in that relationship. And that's the essence of our faith. And it's important for us to remind ourselves of that again and again. You know, St. Paul, he didn't meet Jesus when Jesus was walking on the earth. He met Jesus only after he had risen and ascended back to heaven. And how did he meet Jesus? Well, Jesus continues to be able to be known and met and encountered through the Holy Spirit. That's why he said, it's important for you that I return to the Father so I can send you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will be my abiding presence in the world. That's how I'll remain with you always, through the gift of my Spirit in the church, especially through the sacraments, but also in my word, and even just when you call to me, when you seek me with all your heart, when you pray, I will be there. I will hear. I will answer you because I am with you through the gift of my Holy Spirit. And so Paul could say, you know, I believe nothing can happen that will outweigh the supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For him, I've accepted the loss of everything, and I look on everything as so much rubbish. If only I can have Christ. It's like, wow. Talk about a man in love with the Lord. It's like I can imagine a young man today saying, oh, I'd do anything if I could only have her, you know, a beautiful girl that he's in love with or whatever, or girls saying the same thing about a guy. Oh, I'd sell everything if I could just be married to him, or I'd leave my home and family. But you see, Jesus is really the greatest love of all. If you older generation might remember, that was a famous Whitney Houston song. The greatest love of all. Who's the greatest love of all? Jesus Christ. So Paul could say that. All I want is to know Christ. For me to live is Christ. For he loved me and gave himself for me. Paul encountered the Lord very personally, very directly. It made all the difference in the world. He discovered what Jesus meant when he's saying, you know what, what's the kingdom of God like? And he said, well, it's like a treasure hidden in a field that someone discovers, and they go, oh boy. And they sell everything to buy the field so they can have that treasure. Or like a merchant looking for fine pearls, and he finds one of extraordinary value and beauty, and he sells everything in order to possess that pearl. Well, Jesus is the kingdom of God come in person. He's the pearl of great price. He's the treasure hidden in the field. And faith is when we discover that, when it dawns on us, when it hits us, when it knocks us off our horse like it did with St. Paul, when we have the revelation that Jesus is real, that he's alive, that he loves me, even though I know I've sinned, even though I know I've made a mess of my life to one degree or another, he still loves me. He wants to have a relationship with me. He wants me to follow him. Jesus said to his apostles and disciples toward the end of his life, you know, I don't call you servants. I call you my friends. Something so tender there. Jesus wants a friendship with us. Yes, he's our Savior and Lord, and we need to honor him and have that reverence for him. But he also wants us to relate to him very naturally, like we would relate to a best friend, to pour out our hearts to him, to turn to him in our need, to hang out with him. You know, in the last week or so, there's been this interview of Pope Francis that was published in a Jesuit journal. And it's quite an extended interview, and the media's really been picking up on it. And you have to read the whole interview, though. The media just focusing on a few things and taking it out of context sometimes. But beautiful, because the interviewer is asking a lot of questions about the Pope. And he's a fellow Jesuit priest. And the first question he says to him, he says, "So, who is Jorge Maria Bergoglio?" Because that's his name, right? Before he's Pope Francis, he was Jorge. And he said, "Who really is he?" And the Pope looked at him and said, "I am a sinner whom the Lord has reached out to with mercy." Beautiful, beautiful. And then he was describing, you know, how does the Pope pray? He says, "Well, I offer Mass every morning and I pray my divine office, which I love to pray the Psalms," he said, "and I also pray the Rosary every day. I love our Blessed Mother Mary." But he says, "My favorite time of the day is between 7 and 8 o'clock in the evening, where I spend an hour in adoration before Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament." Every day after supper, that's how he spends his evening. Wow. Very inspiring. And then he went on to say, "We were taught by our founder, St. Ignatius of Loyola, great saint who loved Jesus, who was a military man, a soldier, officer, was wounded in battle, and during his convalescence, he had a conversion. He decided, no, I'm going to now serve Jesus." And he founded the Society of Jesus, which we call the Jesuits. That's kind of their nickname, but it's really the Society of Jesus. And Ignatius taught his disciples that every day we need to examine our life and our conscience to see how we've lived our day. And he said there's three questions we should ask ourselves at the end of the day. Number one, what did I do for Christ? Number two, what am I doing for Christ? And number three, what can I do for Christ? You see, that's faith. When our life becomes more and more focused on Jesus Christ, he is what life is all about. He's the source of our life. He's our destiny. He's our strength. He's our comfort. He's our hope. He's our truth. He's the light to guide us through this life. And we know that, and we seek him, and we want to grow in relationship to him. That's what faith is all about. Let's pray, brothers and sisters, in this year of faith. Let's ask for more of that faith, because it is a gift as well as a response. God has to reach out and reveal himself to us, and yet he's always reaching out to us. He says, "I'm standing at the door of your heart, of our life, knocking. If anyone will open the door," that's our free will, "if anyone will open our heart to me, I will come in, sit down and have supper with them." A beautiful image again of that friendship and intimacy he wants to have with us. So brothers and sisters, let us respond. The most powerful prayer we can pray, I think, is simply, if it's prayed from the heart, it's simply Jesus. 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 The name of Jesus. with longing, with devotion, with the awareness of our need for him. Because you know what Jesus means? It means God saves. So when we cry out his name, we're saying, yes, Lord, I need you. Save me. I want you. And so let us, that's an easy prayer, right? That's pretty easy to remember, right? We can memorize that one pretty quickly. One word. So let us pray it throughout the day, but especially at the beginning of the day. Pope John Paul II, he said when he got out of bed in the morning, the first thing he would say is, praise be Jesus Christ. And when we go to bed at night, if we're so tired, at least let us say, Jesus. Maybe, Jesus, thank you for this day. Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus, I trust in you. Obviously, we can add to that. But the name of Jesus, that's our faith. If anyone asks you, what is your faith all about? The answer is simple. Jesus.